From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. And on this day, analysis of last night's results and a look at the decisive victory of Sean Moody, who will be the Republican candidate for governor in November. And we'll look at the DA primary winner for Androscoggin, Franklin, and Oxford counties, whose law license is currently suspended. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Let's start out tonight with a look at what happened yesterday. Now that the June primary is sort of over, let's check in with our two political correspondents, Steve Missler, Mal Leary, for some analysis of the results. They spoke with our Jennifer Rooks earlier about some of last night's surprises, including, says Missler, the Republican gubernatorial primary in which Sean Moody got the nomination.
Yeah, I mean, that was, a shock to just about anybody, including perhaps Moody's campaign, which, I mean, I expected the Republican primary to at least get to the tabulation, the ranked choice voting tabulation, at least have a second round. I thought it would get that far. But that didn't happen. I mean, Moody jumped out to an early lead in the early returns and just really never looked back. And, you know, his closest challenger was Garrett Mason, who I thought would do a lot better. I mean, he was considered the dark horse in that primary field. I think everybody felt like he had a lot of momentum. But it just didn't translate into the numbers last night. And Moody was, you know, doing what nobody thought was going to happen, which was making a victory speech.
Why do you think? How did he do it?
I don't know. I mean, I do know that, you know, he had Governor Paula Page's machine behind him, which, you know, I think helped in terms of building a coalition that would support him. He also he checks a lot of boxes that LePage checked back in 2010 when he came out of nowhere.
Now, sure, businessman?
Businessman, exactly. He has no political record, so there's really nothing to hit him with outside of the fact that he was an independent and had recently joined the Republican Party. And so in that sense, I mean, we're in an age where it seems as though, at least on the Republican side, there's this hunger for people who are not politicians at all, or who are, even though they're aspiring to be one. I just think they ran a pretty good campaign, and he has a lot of name recognition because he's a small business owner and a very successful one. So people know who he is, and that seemed to play a big part in this.
So, Mal, last I saw you, a little after midnight last night, you were really fascinated by some of the numbers in this election year. Tell me what some of the numbers are telling you that make this election so interesting.
Well, let's start off with that Republican primary because it is the most fascinating one. What's interesting to me is far fewer Republican voters came out this time than in 2010 when Governor LePage was nominated. I mean significantly. In 2010, the Republican turnout was over 131,000 voters. Right now, we're looking at a Republican turnout of around 85,000 voters. Mm. So that's a significant difference. On the Democratic side, they have something to be happy about in that it looks like their turnout this year will closely match the 122,000 that turned out in 2010. So they're at least meeting the same levels of voter interest that they had 8 years ago. But still, if I were running Moody's campaign, I would be a little worried about the enthusiasm factor being so far down in the primary from what it was when Paul LePage won the primary 8 years ago.
What do the numbers tell you, Mal, about the ranked choice voting referendum, the people's veto?
Well, the ranked choice voting folks did exactly what they said they needed to do, and that is they got a lot of unenrolled voters to show up at the polls. And we can say that by looking at the total turnout for folks who were running for governor. Roughly 250,000 people voted in the ranked choice voting question. When you look at how many people have cast ballots for governor, both Republicans and Democrats, it's still a little under 200,000. That's a big difference. That's a lot of unenrolled voters that the ranked choice voting supporters got out to the polls, and I think it made a really big difference to them.
Steve, how influential will this second vote, the second statewide vote, be when the legislature convenes next time? I mean, will there be more momentum to change the Constitution of Maine to make ranked choice voting the law of the land, or do you still expect resistance?
Well, I think in the short term, in terms of legal resistance, I think we'll see a lot less, in part because Republicans have been leading the resistance against ranked choice voting. But here they are, the day after the debut of this landmark law and voting system, with a majority winner. So they're not going to be able to, you know, go out and say, oh, we've been damaged by this process. We produced a majority winner. So I think that's going to preempt any lawsuits that were in the offering in the aftermath of this thing. In terms of how that translates to the legislature, if lawmakers are watching these results and they're looking at the numbers that Mal just told you, they should be very cognizant of those numbers. I mean, there was no reason really for independent voters to turn out yesterday because these are primary elections. They can't even vote in the primary contest. The only reason they came out was if they had a local ballot referendum issue to vote on or ranked choice voting. And as Mal just pointed out, they came out, and it looks like they came out for ranked choice voting.
That's Maine Public political correspondent Steve Missler and Mal Leary. They spoke earlier with Jennifer Rooks. Mal will also host Maine Calling tomorrow at 1 from the State House, where he'll talk with legislative leaders about the election and about unfinished business still before them. Maine Public reporter last night, Fred Bever, was at Sean Moody's headquarters. He filed this report.
The mood at Moody's Gorham headquarters stayed buoyant through the evening as results came in showing a consistently commanding lead. At 11 p.m., just in time for the late television news, he took the podium for a quick shout-out to his supporters.
We're feeling very positive, optimistic, and I think Mainers have spoken. You know, they want a business person. They want someone from the outside with a fresh set of eyes, and they don't want to turn Augusta back over to the politicians.
The founder of a successful auto body repair chain that's now owned by its employees, Moody says he wants to foster an economy that will enable young Mainers to realize their potential as well.
And there's so many young people out there right now with the same talent, the same dreams, and the same opportunities that I had. And we got to make sure that we create the pathways for them to go on and be successful, stay here in Maine, and build a future.
His closest competitor in the four-way showdown, State Senator Garrett Mason, told supporters at his Lisbon headquarters that they gave it their all.
You know, all I wanted out of this campaign at the end was I wanted to know that we did everything that we possibly could to win, and we did.
The other two candidates in the race, former Department of Health and Human Services Commissioner Mary Mayhew and House GOP leader Ken Fredette, have both been close allies of Governor Paul LePage. But it's Moody who seems to have inherited the governor's image as an outsider who won't stand for politics as usual. And it's a profile that still resonates for Moody supporter Rick Davis.
He's not a politician. He's a businessman. He made it the hard way, and that's what I believe in.
Campaign consultant Brent Littlefield says the solidity of Moody's support in every county demonstrates he'll be formidable in November's general election as well.
We certainly have heard from across the state very large numbers of independents, which is obviously not surprising, and Democrats, blue-collar Democrats, that really like Sean Moody.
Littlefield is just one of the graduates of LePage's political operation, along with daughter Lauren LePage, who have gravitated to the Moody campaign. And it's clear they think they've picked a winner again. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Waterville's Republican Mayor Nick Isgro will keep his job on the city council after a recall effort failed by a slim margin yesterday. Isgro's mocking tweet at Parkland shooting survivor David Hogg triggered the effort. Isgro didn't respond to a request for comment, but Julian Payne, a Waterville school board member and Isgro supporter, says the GOP's mayor won by a 91-vote margin. That's very significant in the heavily Democratic community. Payne says he thinks Waterville voters protected one of their own, someone who's given a lot to the city.
I think when push came to shove, the people of Waterville did the right thing and really exposed who the divisive people are, and that we're really quite a tolerant city, and we don't need people to write affirmations to show that we are tolerant.
Isgro serving his second term on the Waterville City Council, which will expire in 2 years. One surprise in yesterday's election may have gone under the radar is the unofficial victory of Seth Carey in the Republican race for the district attorney nomination in Androscoggin, Franklin, and Oxford counties. As Susan Sharon reports, Carey's apparent win is unusual for several reasons. One big one is the fact that his law license is currently suspended.
Carey's law license has been suspended because he allegedly sexually abused a woman in his home in Rumford. A former client who moved in with him, the woman was granted a protection from abuse order against Carey. He's appealing both actions and says he will spend the next 5 months trying to clear his name. Maine law requires candidates for DA to be lawfully admitted to the bar.
I'm going to be able to serve because this is all going to be cleared up. I'm rather confident. I know the truth, and the truth will come out, and I'm going to be a great DA for the people of this district. It's going to be the comeback story of the year and maybe one of the best comeback stories in Maine politics history.
Carey faced an uphill battle not just because of his history of legal problems, he's been suspended before, but also because of his rival. Alex Ouellette is a former Republican legislative leader and veteran who currently serves as an assistant district attorney in Sagadahoc County. Ouellette was considered the favorite because of his resume and because of the GOP's position in the race. After the allegations against Carey were made public, the Republican Party chair asked Carey to bow out because of what she called actual, credible accusations. He refused.
I'm happy that my outsider campaign resonated with the voters. I think that they're fed up with politics as usual.
Carey raised less than $200 and made and posted handmade signs around Lewiston and Auburn. Even he is not quite sure how he managed to navigate the path to victory. He says voters are smarter than they seem and likely identified with his message of fighting government corruption, overspending, and the political establishment. Alex Ouellette could not be reached for comment, but in a Facebook post to supporters, he acknowledged that he came out short in the race and was disappointed. If Carey is confirmed as the Republican nominee, he will face incumbent District Attorney Andrew Robinson, who ran unopposed in the Democratic primary. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Meanwhile, in the Democratic primary for District Attorney in Cumberland County, with 25 of 64 precincts reporting, John Gale has 36%, Frayla Tarpinian has 32%, and Seth Levy has 32%. Finally today, Maine U.S. Senator Angus King's urging the Food and Drug Administration to back off a requirement that natural honey and maple products carry the label sugar added. By putting added sugar on a food label, the FDA says it wants to make consumers aware of sugar they could add to their diets. But on the Senate floor, King said this designation would have a significant impact on those industries nationwide. King says in Maine, maple syrup is a $20 million a year business.
Most people, when you say they're going to put added sugar on a label for maple syrup, they think it's kind of funny. It's not funny to the industry. So I can't resist, Mr. President. I'm hoping for a sweet ending to a sticky mess.
King says the FDA is well-intentioned, but that the yet-to-be-finalized requirement ignores the fact that no sugar is actually added to either product. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.